Once again, we like to turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. Once again, we'll read the first six verses. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." Again, due to Judah's incessant rebellion against God, the judgment of God was looming. But before God's judgment of Babylonian captivity would come upon them, God, out of grace and love and mercy and goodness and long-suffering kindness, raised up a man by the name of Jeremiah to preach to these people. Jeremiah would receive and then preach what God would give him. And in our text, we see Jeremiah in the potter's house, where he would receive from God, if I've counted right, which would be the ninth message that he was to deliver to the people. I want to speak tonight on observations in the potter's house that will help us in life. First off, there are some very valuable lessons to be gathered prior to and going to the potter's house concerning obedience. If we go back to chapter 1, in verses 4 through 10, we're not going to read those verses. We will refer to some of them. But we have record of Jeremiah's call to preach. In this record, he is instructed concerning the place or places where he was to preach and the people to whom he was to preach. We see that in verse 7, "For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee." Thou shalt go to all that I send thee. He was also instructed concerning the source of what he was to preach in verse 7. "And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." He is also told that in obeying this call, he would face some intimidation. In verse 8, "Be not afraid of their faces." Verse 17, "Be not dismayed at their faces." So there would be some intimidation. He was also told that there would be some opposition. In other words, God would give the messages to Jeremiah, and God already knew what was going to happen before any of the messages were ever preached. But he tells Jeremiah in verse 19 that there would be opposition. "They shall fight against thee." But in light of these things, He was reminded of the I am of God. Notice verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am. For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Verse 19. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. Why? For I am with thee. So he tells Jeremiah, this is not going to be easy, but I am. I am. There's also some I wills of God. In verse 12, then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. What he's saying is, judgment's coming. In verse 15, for lo, I will call all the families. Again, I will call God himself, all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come. And that shall set every one on his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments. How would he do that? He would do that through Jeremiah. He says, Jeremiah, I'll gather the people. You just go where I tell you to go. And the people will be there because I will. He also reminds Jeremiah of I have, verse 18. For behold, I have made thee this day, Jeremiah personally, a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the king of Judah. Again, opposition. Against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. He is told to be in a state of readiness. In chapter 1, verse 17, thou therefore gird up thy loins. That is, Jeremiah, I have told you all this. Now get ready. Prepare yourself. And then he says, arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Jeremiah, in this call, was being taught the lesson of obedience. He was being told by God, Jeremiah, this is what I want you to do, and you must obey me, you must trust me in this matter. Now in our text, in verse 1, we see the word from the Lord came to Jeremiah. And in that word was instruction to Jeremiah, just as God said it would be in chapter 1. He said, arise and go down to the potter's house. Now, I don't know how many potter's houses there were. Perhaps there was only one, but obviously Jeremiah knew which one God was talking about. Go down to the potter's house. And God gave him a promise. And there, nowhere else, there I will cause thee to hear my words. In other words, he would cause him to hear the message that God would have Jeremiah to deliver. And before a preacher preaches a message, he needs to hear that message. And if he's right with God, he hears it over and over and over. He's heard it many times by the time he gets up and declares it. But God had something special for Jeremiah in the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words, but you've got to go there. Arise and go to the potter's house. In verse 3, then, there's that order. Brother Mark talked about this morning sequence, very important, all through the Scriptures. Then, that is on the basis of God's direction. He didn't go down on his own direction. He was following the direction of God. Then I went down to the potter's house, I believe immediately. Didn't wait a month. He went down as soon as God told him, arise and go. Jeremiah was on his way. Jeremiah has obeyed God, verse 3, that I went down to the potter's house. So there's obedience. And then notice what happened. And behold. I went down to the potter's house just like God told me to do. And behold. Which, of course, is a verb. And as we've said many, many times, it's a word that is used when something momentous is happening or is about to happen. It is a word of exclamation. It is a word of wonder. My point is this. Jeremiah obeyed God. And that was followed by, and behold. Obedience to God will fill your life with the extraordinary. Just simply obeying what God says will fill your life with the extraordinary, will fill your life with, and behold. Obedience to God will fill your life with wonder. Again, the word behold is a word of wonder. And just simple obedience to God fills our life with wonder. Behold is an exclamation word. And obedience to God will cause you to live life with an exclamation point. Obedience to God is an exciting thing. It's an exciting way to live. It's not a fearful way to live. It's an exciting way to live. It puts an exclamation point in our life. So, this obedience leads to, and behold. So Jeremiah arrives at the potter's house, and he was caused by God to observe some things, to behold some things. To behold is not simply to see. To behold is to observe, to give attention, to give it serious thought, to give it serious consideration. So Jeremiah has arrived at the potter's house, and behold, what he sees, he is giving serious thought to. He is giving it serious consideration. And what he sees is what God will use to speak to Jeremiah, and in turn Jeremiah would speak to the people. In the potter's house, again, keep in mind, verse 2, and there, I will cause thee to hear. It was in the potter's house that Jeremiah saw what he could not see anywhere else. And I'm telling you, obedience to God will cause you to see things that you won't see anywhere else. In the potter's house, Jeremiah heard things that he would not have heard anywhere else. God would speak to him there. And in obedience to God, you will see things that you will not see anywhere else. And you will hear from God in ways that you could not anywhere else. Jeremiah, I believe, stood there quietly, observing what God had for him. And as he stood there and observed and gave attention to what was going on in that house, God spoke to him. Verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, and then there's verse 6, which is really an explanation of what Jeremiah has just observed. You'll be amazed at how much is explained concerning God, concerning the ways of God, by simple obedience. By obedience to God. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, so as Jeremiah obeyed God, as Jeremiah was in that house, God revealed some things to Jeremiah. And God blesses obedience with much revelation concerning himself, concerning ourselves, concerning what he would have us to do from that point. So there's much revealed in obedience to God. So in all of that, we see this. There is much benefit to you and I personally in simply obeying God. So Jeremiah goes, as he was told, to the potter's house. Then we want to look at the observations of Jeremiah in the potter's house. And if these observations grip our hearts and minds, they will help us in life. They'll help us whatever we go through in life. The truths that are revealed in the potter's house will not hurt you in any way. They will help you in every way. The first thing he observed, as we saw this morning, was the potter. Again, verse 3, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he. It doesn't say, and behold, all the beautiful pottery that filled the house. It says, and behold, he. It was the first thing he saw. It was the first thing that got his attention. In the potter's house was the potter. I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he. And he observed that potter. And he gave very serious thought and consideration to what he was observing concerning that potter. In the illustration, the potter is the main character. When you get to verses 3 and 4, the main character is the potter. He's the main character. If that truth gets a hold of us, God is the main character. God is the main thing. When that truth gets a hold of our hearts and minds, it'll help you live. It'll help you live your life. And behold, he. When we get to the point where the first thing we see, no matter where we are, the first thing we see is God. That'll help you. That's what we need to see. Behold, he. So the potter is the main character. As Jeremiah enters the potter's house, and he's observing, he sees the potter, he noticed that there's a work going on. He wrought a work on the wheels. So there's the potter. The potter is doing something. there are the wheels, there is a vessel made of clay. But as you look at all of those things, look at the wheels, look at the work, look at the wheels, look at the vessel made of clay. And are they not all relative and subjective to the potter? He's connected with all of them. Because the potter, again, is the main character. Without the potter, there is no work going on. Without the potter, nothing is happening. Without the potter, those wheels and that clay, they're without meaning. They have no meaning. They have no purpose without the potter. He's the main character. You remove the main character, you remove the potter, you have no meaning. There's no meaning to life. And this, of course, is what many are doing. So God is giving Jeremiah a living illustration. He's causing Jeremiah to see that the potter is the source. He is the fountainhead of all. Now, in the illustration that God is giving, the potter, of course, is representative of God. That's brought out very clearly in verse 6. He says, I, referring to himself. You skip on a few words and it says, I has this potter, saith the Lord. So the potter represents the Lord. And we see that the clay is in the potter's hand, and then he says, so are ye in my hand. There's a correlation between the potter's hand and God's hand. So, without any doubt, the potter is God. Now, an observation made in the potter's house that we need to always be mindful of, and that will help us in life, God is the main character. Without Him, there isn't anything. Without Him, that wheel, the clay, has no meaning whatsoever. You cannot remove God and maintain meaning and purpose. Cannot be done. He's the main character. We must always remember that. Our life has many, 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 many scenes. Many scenes. Many scenes we've already been through. Many, if we live past today, we'll go through some more scenes. But in every single scene, remember this, God is the main character. And if that would just get a hold of our hearts and minds, it'll help us. Now always look. He's the main character, so you need to always be looking for Him in whatever the scene is of our life. So he observes the potter. He observed the potter at work. It's a blessing to sit back and observe the potter at work. It's a blessing to look at your own life. You can look back, you can look at the present, whatever, and you can see the potter is at work. We need to always remember that. We may not see the work at first, but he's working. So he observed the potter at work, and behold, he wrought. That means he was engaged, he was producing, it says he wrought a work. He was producing, he was creating a creation, if you will. There was a work going on and the potter was doing the work. That's always so. There's always a work going on, and the potter's doing the work. Again, he wrought a work. And again, the main thing is not the work. The main thing is he wrought a work. The main thing is not the work. The main thing is not the work that's going on. The main thing is he. He wrought a work. So this isn't something that was just random. As he observed the potter at work, what did he see? Well, he saw a very intelligent and capable worker that was working his purpose, that was working his plan. You see, the potter had a purpose. The potter had a method of accomplishing that purpose. Holding the clay in his hand, and there's the wheel. So he has a method in accomplishing his purpose. So always be mindful of this, and it'll help you in life. God is always accomplishing his purpose. You and I might get sidetracked, and you and I might say, well, why did that happen? Just know this, God is working his purpose. God is working his purpose. As Jeremiah observes the potter at work, there's several things he sees. He sees his authority. He sees his power. He sees his wisdom, his knowledge, his ability. He sees his rights. As he observes the potter is governing the wheels. He's in control of those wheels. And he's also governing the clay. In other words, as Jeremiah arrived at the potter's house, he sees what? He sees that the potter has everything under control. We need to always be mindful of that. Even when things seem out of control, and they often do to you and I. But we need to be mindful that the potter has everything under control. And that'll help us in life. It'll help us in all the different scenes of our life. It says in verse 3, he wrought a work on the wheels. Now there was a lower, larger wheel connected by an axle to an upper wheel. The potter would turn that lower wheel with his feet, and which of course turned the upper wheel. And he would apply the clay to the wheels. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 15 through 19, wheels are used to illustrate the providence of God. The providence of God. The providence of God is a wonderful thing. When we refer to the providence of God, we're referring to the actual doings of God. It's God doing and or permitting things that he has purposed. To put it simply, it is God working his plan. God working his plan. God has a plan. Bible's very specific about that. Be sure of this, God is always working his plan. So providence is basically all the happenings and all the occurrences of life. God's behind it all. It's God working his plan. Things just do not just happen. But God is causing them to happen. or God allows them to happen. And He does so for His own purpose. And again, the wheels illustrate the providence of God. Think about a wheel. Sometimes one part of the wheel is at the top. Half a revolution. Now another part of the wheel is at the top, and what was at the top is now at the bottom. That's providence. That's our life. One moment you're here, one moment you're here. And I'm not talking about emotionally, though that could be. I'm not talking about our moods. I'm talking about circumstances. The things that happen in our life. You can go home tonight. I doubt if it's going to happen. It might. And you get a phone call that you have just inherited $1 million. You're up here. 30 seconds later, you can get another phone call that undoes everything. And now you're down here. That's life. The happenings of life. But in this potter's house, these wheels represent the happenings of life. They represent God's providence. Who's in control of those wheels? The potter is. The potter is. Jeremiah observed that the potter determined when the wheels moved. No one else determined that. He determined. He determined at what pace they would move. Again, he would turn that lower wheel with his feet. Did he not also determine for what purpose those wheels would move? And was he not the one also determining when the wheel stopped? He was in control of the wheels. Be sure of this, God governs the wheels. In other words, God governs the happenings of life. As Jeremiah observes the potter at work, he sees again that the potter has a purpose. He's working everything according to that purpose. Verse 4, as seemed good to the potter. He had a plan and a purpose. And he never deviated from it. Never. God never, ever, ever deviates from His plan. Why? He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. He's already seen the end from the beginning. He doesn't have to. You and I, we can make plans. We may not have foreseen something. That's not so with God. He's foreseen everything. So we have to change our plan. You and I change plans all the time out of necessity. Necessity determines we got to change this plan. This isn't going to work. That's not so with God. Psalm 33 and 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Isaiah 14, 27, Isaiah 46, 10. Ephesians 1, verse 11, the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. When those truths, again, it's easy to go up to someone and say, God knows all about it. Yes, He does. And it's easy to use those platitudes. Well, God can. We know God can do such and such. And all that's true. But it needs to go further than that. It needs to, those truths need to grip our hearts and minds. Where it's not just a platitude, but it's a reality in our life. And that'll help us in every scene of our life. Jeremiah, in observing the work of the potter, he saw that the potter governed the wheels, but he also saw that the potter governed the clay. And he governed them both at the same time. The potter, while causing the wheels to turn, held the clay in his hands. His governor of the wheels and of the clay are not independent of one another. They're not two separate things. They coincide with one another. You see, the potter determines and is in absolute control of the effect that the wheels have upon the clay. He's in absolute control of that. Something can happen that is distantly related to us, and it has a small impact upon us. God caused whatever it was to happen, and God caused it to have little impact upon us. Other things happen, and they have huge impact upon this piece of clay, upon that piece of clay. But God's the determiner. God is the one who determines all that. He governs the wheels, and He governs the clay. We read in Romans 8:28, all things work together. Why? Because He's the one working them together. Because things are not random. All things work together for good. It doesn't say all things are good. That's not what it says. It says all things work together for good. This here may be bad. This here may be whatever, be somewhere between good and bad. And this here may be very good. God works them all together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. In other words, God works His plan, and it involves the clay. And it involves you and I. In other words, as the potter is turning that wheel with his feet, the clay is in the hand of the potter. He's turning that wheel in the interest of the clay. And he's turning that wheel, and while he is, he's working on the clay. The two go hand in hand. They're not independent of one another. And God causes things to happen in our lives. Many of those things we have no idea why it happened, but be sure of this. God is working on the clay. God caused something to happen in order to work on the clay. And while the potter is causing that wheel to turn, all the while the wheel is turning, he's handling the clay. That's how it is. God causes things to happen in our life. God permits things to happen in our life. And all the while he's handling the clay. And he's in complete control of the wheel. He's shaping the clay. And he does so with great attention to both the wheels and the clay. What is happening? And the clay. So Jeremiah saw the unwavering attention of the potter as he's turning that wheel with his feet. His eye is never lifted from the clay. The wheel is revolving. Things are happening. And all the while, his eye is on that clay. All that needs to get a hold of us. Things happen. Many things have happened in our life. Many things will continue to happen if we continue to live. But God never takes His eye off the wheel. Never takes His eye, or He's never unmindful of the wheel. He never takes His eye off the clay. And the whole time He's handling that clay, He's molding that clay. And may I say also, neither the wheels nor the clay
determine what God did. God's the determining factor. God is not a reactionary God. Such and such happens and God reacts to it. No, God caused it to happen. God permitted it to happen. He's not a reactionary God. So, the wheels and the clay did not determine what the potter did. He was the determiner of both the wheels and the clay. And again, when that gets a hold of us, it'll help us. Also, he, in his observation, he is reminded of position. In verse 6, God is reminding Jeremiah, or telling Jeremiah, to remind Judah, I'm the potter. I'm the potter. The very first lesson that a child of God needs to learn is he's God. That needs to sink down deep. He's God. He's God. We're the clay. That was the message that Jeremiah was to deliver to the people. He's God, you're not. He's God, you're the clay. May I say, there is never a time, there is never a circumstance, there is never a place in my life when this is not true. He is God, I am the clay. That position is never, ever, ever changed or altered. Never. We need to always remember that. He's the potter, we're the clay. What does that mean? Well, the potter could do whatever he wanted with that clay. God was getting ready to send Judah into Babylonian captivity, and he's telling them, you may not understand why you're going into Babylonian captivity, but I've got news for you. I can do whatever I want. And you're going into captivity. The potter can do whatever he wants with the clay. He has every right to do what he wants with the clay. He is the potter, we are the clay. God has every right to do whatever he wants with my life, in my life. He has that right. We don't. When someone gets mad at God, they do not realize that truth. It should never, if we get news tonight that we have some deadly disease, it shouldn't be, why me, Lord? Why me? Why not you? He's the potter, you're the clay. He can do whatever he wants. The truth is, he had the right to throw that clay to the side. He had every right to do that. He had the right that after he formed it into a vessel, to break it to pieces. You say, well, why would he do that? He's God. He can do what he wants. He has that right. He had the right to crush it. He also had the right to design one piece of one vessel one way and another vessel another way. Well, why am I not like that vessel? Because God has the right to make you the way he did. That's God's right. He's the potter. We're the clay. He has the right to make that vessel whatever size he wants. He has the right to make it whatever shape he wants. He has the right to determine how it is going to be used and where it is going to be used. He's the potter. We're the clay. So every time we say, well, that's not fair, that is an attempt to strip God of his rights to do what he pleases. He had absolute right. He had absolute power. He had absolute control
over the wheels, and over the clay. The clay belonged to him. It was his. That needs to get a hold of us. Again, we all acknowledge we belong to God. And we need to acknowledge such. But there is a difference between verbally acknowledging something and from that, then it's sinking down in our hearts where it's real. I'm not my own. I belong to God. I belong to God. So when the truth of God's position and our position relative to God grips our hearts and minds, it'll help us in life. It'll help us in every scene of our life. Our lives are like books, different chapters. Different chapters. The scenery may change. Many things may change. But this never changes. God's the potter. We're the clay. And no matter what the scene, as a child of God, I'm in His hand in a special way. All His creation is in His hand. He holds the whole world in His hand. But as His sons and daughters, we're in His hand in a special way. And Jesus said, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. We're the clay. No matter what the scene is, we need to view ourselves, I'm in the potter's hand. I'm not sure what's going on right now. I'm not sure what's going to happen. But I know this. He's the potter, I'm the clay, and I'm in His hand. And whatever happens, however that wheel is turning, it is God that causes the potter, it is the potter that causes the impact between the wheel and the clay. So what all this means is we're to trust Him. We're to trust Him. We're to rely upon Him. Because He's the governor of the wheels and He's the governor of the clay. I'm glad that God has allowed me to believe the sovereignty of God. Because I'll be honest, outside of the sovereignty of God, I don't see any hope. I don't see any comfort. But I find great comfort. We don't always, never fully understand what God's doing. But I find great comfort that He's doing it. And I'm just the clay in His hand. And such ought to overflow us with comfort. It ought to overflow us with joy. There is great comfort in knowing that He's the potter, we're the clay. There's great joy in that. So by going down to the potter's house, there are many things in that potter's house that will help us live our life. Whatever the scene, whatever the stage might be. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse